Good afternoon. This study is pretty much the companion piece to the laboratory study that Michael presented. Here's sort of like the difference between vaccine efficacy and effectiveness. We're sort of trying to show the impact of the separate refrigerator freezer units in sort of the real world setting of the clinics. I'll skip through most of the background just because it's obviously very similar to what Michael presented, go over the study objectives, the methods. For reasons you'll see, the results that I'll show you today are really very preliminary, and consequently, so are the conclusions. And we already have a good idea of some of the limitations, so we'll kind of follow this. Just acknowledge some of the investigators, and there really were many more, sort of a cast of probably close to 100 across the three sites. But at CDC, Tony Richardson, myself, Pascal Wortley, and Greg Wallace were involved. The leads for Colorado were Cinder Ewing and Marianne Koshak, Georgia, Monica Trigg, and Mississippi, Regina Irvin, and Nicholas Carena. I'll skip through this so that we're gonna try to have a panel and have Regina and Cinder come up at the end of my presentation and sort of field some of the questions about the study that I'll describe to you. And again, just going over some of the storage requirements, and you've sort of seen these, the 2 degrees Celsius to 8 degrees for the refrigerator stored vaccines and 15 degrees, minus 15 for the freezer. Some of the issues are the design constraints with the traditional combined units are that they only have one fan and one evaporator. There's some others. So the objectives of this study really were to determine the provider staff knowledge and attitudes toward cold chain errors. I won't be presenting data on that today. To conduct continuous temperature monitoring in a sample of refrigerator and freezer units in the participating sites to determine the frequency of out-of-range temperatures, determine the extent to which this frequency of out-of-range temperatures decreases when, or possibly increases when separate freezer and refrigerator units are provided, and to provide an evidence base to make a decision whether to recommend the use of separate refrigerator and freezer units. So what we did for the study was to recruit three state immunization programs, and the target was to have about 50 provider sites for each of these states. We'd monitor the refrigerator and freezer temperatures continuously for about a six-month baseline period using electronic temperature loggers, measuring the temperatures every 30 minutes. And these loggers were placed in the central area of the refrigerator. At 6 months, we'd randomize half of these provider sites to receive separate refrigerator freezer units, and the other half would continue on with their existing combination units. We'd monitor the temperatures for another 6 months, and then describe and compare the frequency and duration of temperature violations. The status of the study so far is that the three sites have been recruited, and a total of about 140 providers have participated in the study. Two of the sites have completed the study to date. One is still somewhat early in the second phase, the kind of the intervention phase with the separate refrigerator freezer units. So going through the data, I'll just present sort of a relatively small set of results. What you see here is similar to some of the charts you saw from Micah. This is basically just a run chart of the temperatures from the electronic temperature logger in one of the refrigerator units. Someone from NIST here, I feel remiss showing these in Fahrenheit instead of Celsius. But anyway, I'm sure you can do the translation. But you see quite a bit of variation, some spikes. Again, one of the limitations I'll come back to later is that this was measuring air temperature. But again, quite a bit of variation. This is in the combination unit. This is the same provider site, refrigerator temperature after switching to the separate refrigerator unit. And what you see here is considerably less variation in the temperatures. And this is really what we're expecting to see pretty much from all of the sites that received the new units. And we thought it, or I thought it would really be pretty much of a slam dunk case. But oddly enough, the same way that you would think vaccinating children would be something easy to do and work out very well, controlling the temperatures in our small range turns out to be a little bit more difficult than we thought. Again, this just shows the results from that same site, and sorry about the colors on this. These are what are called box and whisker charts, and it just shows you the distribution of the temperatures, not in a run chart, which shows them to you in chronological sequence, but more like a frequency histogram. But anyways, the one on the left shows the distribution of temperatures with the combination unit, and what you can see is there's a much wider range of temperatures. The inside box, the middle line is the mean. The two outside edges of the box are the 25th and 75th percentile. So again, you see a quite a large range, and you see some of the temperatures, I don't know if you can, especially in the back of the room, read the scale, but some of them are going down below freezing. That bottom number on the y-axis is 28 degrees, I think. So there are a few outliers that are getting below freezing. The box and whisker to the right show the distribution, again, for that same provider with the new equipment, and you see a vast improvement. None of the temperatures are too low, maybe one outlier or two that were a bit high. And the interquartile range, again, the range between the 25th and 75th percentile is a lot lower. Whereas what I just showed you, box and whiskers, these are a little bit different. This is showing you the 99.9% confidence intervals for the range of for distribution of temperatures at baseline across 16 different provider sites. So again, this is all with the combination units. And I constructed these so that they capture, like I said, 99.9% of the temperature readings. What you see is that there's quite a bit of variability. So I mean, there's some that even at baseline were in pretty tight control. The mean really isn't where you'd want this to be, but in terms of the distribution of temperatures for that particular refrigerator unit, it's relatively small, whereas some, were quite variable. So again, this is baseline. These are the same set of refrigerators in the follow-up. The first five units are the our farm control sites, where it's really the same unit that they had originally, and we're just continuing the measurement. The remaining observations here, they've switched to the separate units. So let me see if I can toggle back and forth. So what you can see is that for the first five sites, there really isn't much change in the spread there. But for the ones that did get separate units, there's quite a large reduction in the variation. And you can see that in terms of getting temperatures that were out of range on the low end, that was reduced considerably in sites where they got the new equipment. However, it really wasn't universal, and I was really surprised that there's still some sites that are showing up like this one, and this one, and this one, that they're quite variable. Again, these preliminary results, we'll be going back and trying to track down, making sure that the data streams that we're getting really did reflect the new equipment. I know at least one where it looked pretty clear in what should have been the second set of numbers that some of that really reflected temperatures from the old equipment. So we'll go back and verify some of that. This is a somewhat different way of looking at the temperatures. What this shows on the y-axis are the percent of temperatures that were out of range. The gold-colored bar represents baseline, and the light blue bar represents the follow-up. And these are only the providers that got the new equipment. So this is all comparing the old combination units in gold to the separate refrigerator unit in blue. There are two bars on for each pair where you don't see anything. I guess you can pretty much see all of them here. You know, it's really dropped down very, very close to zero. So again, this site, so they had maybe about 2% of their readings at baseline were outside the range, essentially zero with the new equipment. This one went from about 9 to zero. That one went from, say, about 8 to zero. This one went up a little bit. Here's one where theirs went up. Huge reduction there, a big reduction there, and so forth. So again, you can see some where the new equipment really did what we expected, others where it didn't at all, others where it improved, but not to the level that we would have expected. And keep in mind that even though some of these, essentially these rates seem very low, so we're looking, down here at the difference between 2% and say, 0.05% of the readings. But over a 6-month period, measuring temperatures every 30 minutes, this on average, say was about 10,000 temperature measurements. So even if only 1% of these are an error, it would mean that you'd have 100 out of range excursions, possibly 100 freeze thaw cycles of that vaccine in a 6-month period. So to the extent that you have vaccine that could be sitting on the shelf for 6 months, for 12 months, the chance of that happening is really fairly significant, even at very low rates of out of temperature excursions. So the preliminary conclusions, just based on the small set of data, mimic somewhat Michael's conclusions. I think first of all, highlighting the value of using the temperature loggers. Looking at those run charts, other ways that you can look at the data in terms of looking at the distribution, whether it's by box and whisker, you can construct different size conference intervals for those. You can even borrow some of the methods from statistical process control and look at capability indices. But again, because of being able to monitor continuously and and having that data available to you electronically. So it's a huge value to using the temperature loggers. The second conclusion would be that separate units clearly have the potential to improve compliance with the storage requirements. But the third one being that separate units don't really guarantee that, and I was fairly surprised that it didn't. So we'll be tracking down some of the reasons, looking more carefully at what happened in those sites that got the new units, but the performance wasn't where we expected it or hoped it to be. In terms of limitations, even the preliminary data that I've shown you, one, it was only a subset of the data that I analyzed in this presentation, and it wasn't necessarily representative. In fact, all of the sites were from Colorado, and Colorado purchased new pharmaceutical-grade units for their providers. Some of the other sites purchased separate units, but they were more commercial grade. So again, this should have been sort of the best case. The other issue is that what I've shown you here has just looked at the refrigerator temperatures. So obviously I've admitted showing you the freezer temperatures, but importantly, for the combination units, it's important to look jointly, sort of at the same point in time, what's happening to the refrigerator and freezer temperatures. Because what you see when you look separately and look at which types of errors are happening in the refrigerated compartment and the freezer compartment, you see that in some cases, the provider did a good job of making sure that there weren't temperatures in the refrigerator that were too cold, but the consequence is they were more likely to have temperatures in the freezer that, were too warm, and then vice versa. So being able to jointly look at those two temperatures in the data. And then finally, again, these were air temperatures that I looked at here, and it is only from one probe. I actually hope to be using some of the data from NIST, the study that Michael just described, to come up with some rules of how to adjust some of the air temperature readings to better reflect what would be happening with the vial temperature. So whether it means looking at, to have a minimum of at least two consecutive 30-minute periods where the temperature was outside the range before counting that as an temperature excursion or so forth. But hopefully we'll be able to get a better handle on that. So with that, I think we'd like to open it up to have Regina, Cinda, come on up. And we'll entertain questions that people might have, either about the second study in the three states or about the laboratory study that Michael described. Thank you.